Let's turn now to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 6 and perhaps the remainder of this chapter. And these are the last verses that I know of that speak to us specifically about the character, the nature, the rise and fall of Antichrist. We do not know him by any other title. He is referred to by such appellations as beast or false prophet, but we do not have a particular name for him as we did with the person whom Jesus called the son of perdition, who was Judas Iscariot. But this man will have a name. He will have been born, natural birth, and he will live among us and rise from the sea of people that are the inhabitants of this world. And he will become all that the Bible prophesies him to become. But I think we are all overwhelmed by many other things that are happening in the world. But I can assure you that the things that are happening to us today are the things that are shaping the mind of those who are being deceived, so that when Antichrist comes, he will be welcomed by the world. He will be welcomed by the world. There will be a remnant of faithful people who will not receive him as the deliverer and the one who should rule this world. We believe that Jesus Christ is the rightful ruler of this world. And this man is an interloper. He is the opposite of everything that Christ is and will be as ruler of the world. So for a little review this morning, let's ask and then answer, hopefully, the question, what do the Thessalonians know? That is, when they read this letter, first epistle to the Thessalonians, and now they're reading the portion that we are now involved in, what exactly did they know? They knew that the day of Christ is not at hand. We're not talking about the rapture and the resurrection. We're talking about the day of Christ. Paul said, "Do not be troubled nor shaken by any spirit or word, that the day of Christ is at hand." That is the time when Christ becomes the king, when he puts down Antichrist. They knew that there must be a falling away first, and they had not seen the one that is to precede immediately the coming of Antichrist. They knew also that the son of perdition must be revealed. And the title of my message is The Antichrist Revealed. And I do not mean that we will be able to give a name, that we'll be able to give the location or the ethnic origins of this particular person, but we know that someday he will be revealed. So they knew this. They also knew that Antichrist will demand worship. So far, that has not occurred. They also knew that there is a restraining force at work today. That is, if there was not a restraining force at work today, Antichrist would have come already. They also knew that the process to bring Antichrist to power is already at work. That's what the Bible tells us, that it is now working. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Turn with me, please, back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. You remember we studied this not too many Sundays ago. In verse 11, Paul writes of chapter 6, book of Ephesians, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So Paul described this warfare that we are involved in today, and that, as John wrote, there are many antichrists, but we have never seen the antichrist, whom he refers to as the son of perdition and that man of sin. In verse 7, we also have learned, as the Thessalonians did, that this restraining force will be taken out of the way. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, or he who prevents will prevent, until he be taken out of the way. And then that wicked shall be revealed." What is revelation? What do we mean by being revealed? Well, the revelation is verse 4. This is the absolute revelation, the unveiling of the character and the nature and the agenda of Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what the removing of the restraining will ultimately be. That is, when the restraint is removed, the process will work to the point that he's now identified. All the world now realizes that this is not a benevolent dictator, that he is not a person who has their welfare in mind and the healing of the nations, but he is one who has come to make war and to bring about his kingdom. And we know what will happen to him. And that is, when that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord... Now, this, remember, this is not at the same moment that he's revealed, but it's when the Lord comes back with 10,000s of his saints, whom the Lord shall consume. And that is a statement that means there will be no power left in his reign by which he may oppose the Lord. He will consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes again, there's not going to be an extended argument between the Antichrist and Christ. There's not going to be 6 months of warfare and anything of that nature. He will instantly be unseated. He will instantly have his power taken from him, and he will be placed in prison for 1,000 years. And then he will gain power, not as much as he had before, but he will be the leader of rebellion against the kingship of Jesus Christ. So he will be revealed, but he will also have his power taken from him. Now, what will bring Antichrist to power? Verse 9 tells us, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. The coming of Jesus Christ was after the working of the power of God. Virgin birth, place of his birth, fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. It was after the working of God. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born